Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon, and I'm really excited for you to listen, and I wish that each of you could interact with Christy as I have, Christy Boltz. I met Christy a couple of weeks ago at a weekend conference, and we got to dialogue and interact with each other and really enjoyed Christy. She was great energy, and I'm a person that is really pulled and drawn toward energy. I love to give it, but I really love to, it's kind of like a fireman. They run to the fire. They don't run away from it. And I'm one that runs towards energy and not away from it. And so I was drawn to Christy and asked her to be a guest on my podcast. And she said she would. So here she is with me today. So Christy is the CFO, CEO, CMO, and whatever of her business, My Dental CMO. And she is a speaker. She's a marketing strategist. And she's a results-driven coach. And I like that last statement there, Christy, a results-driven coach. So, Christy, we'll come back to that statement here in a second, but I would like for you to introduce yourself to the audience and share with them what you want them to know about you.
Isn't there nothing worse than a boring bio? You hear somebody, they stand up to speak and somebody reads the sheet and you're like, my gosh, this is terrible. And we do this in the dental industry, right? We write blurbs about ourselves on our website. Dentists do it. They often start with Dr. John Gordon graduated from ABC QXP. And then we put a lot of letters behind your name. And then we say, oh, here's all these publications and here are the places he attended. And I just go, I'm going to do it a little different. So,
absolutely.
Yours truly, Christy Boltz, Chief Marketing Officer, strategist, coach, baker, cyclist, cancer slayer, philanthropist. I am on a mission today and every day to make sure that everybody I am blessed to interact with has an opportunity to become a better version of themselves. And one of the ways I do that is to create marketing strategy that gives dentists a better return on investment and trains teams how to execute on that strategy without being overwhelmed. I think when we met in the hall at Expansion, I said, I teach people that marketing is a little bit more than a line item on your P&L. And you said to me, oh my gosh, we have to have a conversation. Dentists and their teams often say that they get a better patient and that marketing is now a part of their practice culture and that they are all better versions of themselves and they therefore attract better patients. And so when I'm not doing that every October since 2010, you'll find me riding my bike from San Francisco to San Diego to support an organization near and dear to my heart, the Challenge Athletes Foundation. And if I'm home, if I'm not on a plane spending time with dentists and their teams, you'll find me either with my hands in the dirt in the yard working with my husband or in the test kitchen. We redid our kitchen.
Oh, wow.
When our son went off to Paris Island for Marine Corps boot camp. And because my husband loves to cook and we have about 50 different places that he can cook meat over a live fire, my one ask was I wanted a couple ovens. So our kitchen has...
I think you got a couple.
Four ovens. Okay. So that's a better bio than Christy went to here to go to school and here's a... So there you go. Excited to be here and a joy to be with somebody who I know is committed to being better every day. Thanks, Dr. John.
Yeah. Gosh, Christy, thanks for joining me. That was an awesome bio. I loved it. I'm ready to sign up. Game's over. Let's do this thing. You know, I really appreciate that because some of my guests that I've had come on, Christy, have sent to me literally probably 1,200 to 1,500 word bios for me to read. And I'm going, gosh, you know, it just took me 3 or 4 minutes to read it myself. I'm not reading that over this. We have more important things to do. And I'm like you, you know, the dentists that have all the little acronyms behind their name. No one cares, Christy. No one cares. All they care about is, how are you going to make me feel? How are you going to take care of me? Are you going to listen to me? And again, that's one of the great things about the expansion that we were together is how I watched the interaction of the participants. And like we talked, probably 3/4 of the people there were women. And I love watching women participate. I learn a lot. And I learn a lot from watching and observing. And I learned a lot from watching and observing my wife, who is a lovely person and is a lot like you, has great energy. And she can go into an audience and learn a lot in 30 minutes and come back and tell me a little bit about something about everybody. And I love that. So I thought, John, how can you learn to do that? So again, every time I go out like this, Christy, it's fun for me to watch and learn more about how to communicate effectively with people. So your business is helping a practice grow. And what I really, there's a couple of things I really liked. Increase and retain high value patients. Describe that process to me, because that, I think, Christy, that was the fun thing that I did in my practice. And I was able to practice a lifestyle dental style of practice that was just fun, because we had patients coming in that were really wanting to have some dentistry done. And once I developed, here was my marketing strategy. Once I developed a relationship via great communication, it was over. Christy, talk us with us about high value patients, how to gain them and how to retain them.
I think, John, you and I could sit next to a fire, or we could throw on our hiking boots and head out for 3 or 4 hours and talk about this. And what a joy, what a joy to unpack it into its simplest form. High value patients are the patients you want more of, period.
Yep.
Now that is different for every dentist, which is why I fundamentally don't believe that marketing is something that we sell people. Hey, marketing is an attitude. Marketing is an activity. Marketing is a habit. And great marketing can be simple if we can only understand, number one, who is the patient that I want more of. Now, in thousands of conversations, people usually come back with 3 criteria. And the first criteria they throw is, I want the people who say yes to most of the dentistry. Okay. So you might call those the bigger cases. Dentists often say, you know, I really enjoy those complex cases, not necessarily because of all of the different steps, but because of the difference between the beginning and the end in the life of a patient. What a true transformation this becomes. So first group of high value patients can be what a lot of people call big case dentistry. The second group of high value patients are people who stay with you a long time. You mentioned the relationship. It's all about the relationship,
isn't it?
And if you get that and you say to yourself, okay, I've looked at my patient base and most dentists have never gone through this exercise, whether it's Dentrix or EagleSoft or Open Dental or SoftDent or whatever software you're running, you can very quickly look at the age of your patient base. And in almost every practice, there's a group of people who've been there longer than the average. Okay? And for some people, that's 20 years. For some people, that's 40 years. For some people, that's 7 years. But people who've been with you a long time love you. That's the second group of high value patients, the people who keep coming back. And the great thing about that group of people is that they often turn into the third group of high value patients, which is what you've probably heard referred to as raving fans, people who refer more than the average. So do a lot of dentistry, stay a long time, refer more. And when that comes together, that's like the trifecta, right? If I get a patient that does all of those things, man, hey, that is the creme de la creme.
Isn't it?
So high value patients can be those three things. And so for some listeners today, they may be going, oh, I've never heard it explained that way. It's like, I always thought a high value patient was, you know, the one who did the $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 case. I have a PPO practice. How can I have high value patients? You can.
Yeah. And you know, Christy, the thing about it is they have them in their practice, but with the PPO frame of practicing, they don't allow themselves time to develop those relationships. And when people transform their practice from transactional to transformational, boom, life changes within the practice for the staff, the doctor, and the patients.
This is why you and I are aligned, because for many people, marketing activities are transactional.
Correct.
They are not transformational. And as long as they are that, that's the kind of patient they're going to attract.
Exactly. Right? Yes. Yeah. So how do we take the transactional marketing into transformational, Christy?
Great question. Easier than you think. Step one, we've already covered it. Determine who your high value patient is. And you've had some great marketing guests on this podcast. And some of them have talked about your ideal client or your patient avatar, whoever that happens to be. That is the first step. Who do you want? And like you said, you have them. You have them in the practice. So easiest way is to dig in to that first class cabin. And so for me, as I work with any dentist around the country, we always start here. We look at their new patient flow, and I don't count bodies, I count revenue. I don't count bodies, I count revenue. So I'm going to look at all the revenue that the new patients generated, divide it by the number of people you saw, and that's your average new patient value in the first 12 months. Now, some dentists listening go, well, Christy, most of our cases extend beyond 12 months. I recognize that. I start with 12 months because that's when you invested the money to get them. So it gives us a nice clean ROI calculation.
Right.
If I find, for example, that your practice an average new patient value, I think, John, I heard you say one time that yours was around $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let's pause 1 second for dignity and have a little sidebar. And address that when you say that, and I've heard you say it several times, what many listeners do is compare their own to yours.
Yes.
And they say to themselves either, well, mine is higher than that, I must be better, or mine is way lower than that, I could never learn anything from this guy. And neither of those feelings are productive. Comparison produces superiority or inferiority, neither of which is productive. So just pause 1 second for grace in your life, everybody, and realize that it's you versus you. That's it. So new patient value, 6,000, 1,500, 12,000, whatever it is. And then I start looking at who's in the front of the plane. And by the front of the plane, I'm looking at who are the 20% of our patients that are generating 80% of the revenue. They're much higher than the average. First thing, what do they all have in common? Are they women? Are they men? Are they 40, 50, 60, 25, 17? Where do they live? What side of town do they come from? How did they find us? And believe it or not, there's usually a mix in practices that have had successful marketing for years. All the good ones don't just come from word of mouth. You can get some good ones from digital. You can get some good ones from advertising. There's only three ways to market. Every marketing activity you've ever done falls into three buckets. And when you dissect your first class cabin, the people in the front of your plane, you might be surprised. And then you just replicate that.
Yeah.
that's really all a strategist does, is let me look at who's in the front of the plane. Okay, there's John, and he's 45 years old, and he lives 3.2 miles from the practice, and he found us through a Google search and read our reviews, and he came in, and you know, you start to uncover that there are patterns for success, and that takes it from transactional to transformational, because you're then duplicating those efforts to create more transformational marketing strategy and tactics and activities and everything that goes along with that.
That's a great answer. That's a phenomenal answer. I love it. You know, with my practice here in the, I live in Kansas City, Missouri, and within the community, within the metropolitan area, you know, the perception was that with my practice that only the wealthy could come get the cosmetic lifestyle dentistry done. And Christy, I had to correct those people so fast, because everybody has a dream. Everybody. Some people want it more than others, and some people are willing to sacrifice more than others. And my majority of cosmetic lifestyle patients, their income was moderate. They had a dream. They were committed to the dream. They were committed to themselves. And therefore, they did whatever they had to do to make it happen without going out and robbing a bank. But it was surprising to me, you know, Christy, I had people that would wait up to 9 years in saving money, putting $100 here, $50 there, and they'd come in 8-9 years later and say, Dr. John, here's my money. Let's go. And, you know, when people come in like that, Christy, there is absolutely no way that you cannot help but give them 200% of your effort. But the main thing about it, what you talked about, was the patients that stay with you, they like you, they love you. And my objective in my new patient experience was to try to create a friendship within a few minutes that established trust to where they felt like they could say yes confidently. Not confidently that they could pay for it or whatever, but confidently that they could trust me, and knowing that they felt that I would have their back. And once we did that, it was over. I made treatment plans with patients, and I never, ever did know what the fee was. I'd walk out, tell the patient, you know, Christy's here to work with you. She will help you figure this out. And I would always say, and if now is not the right time, I will wait with you. And when you call, I will be ready. So, Christy, it was great to meet you here. And I'd walk out. And more times than not, the patient would sign up and we would have the dentistry done. I loved it because I stayed on the person's side completely. I wanted to know about them. My best question was, tell me your story. And then I would sit back and just listen. And once I heard their story, I was always so overwhelmed by it. And it was just, I woke up every morning just anxious to go to the office to meet these people. And that was my transformational style of practice. Therefore, that's how I also marketed, was in that mode. And that's exactly what you were talking about a minute ago, Christy, is it doesn't need to be as complex as it is presented to us at times. The overall process can be relatively simple. Then it needs to be broken down a little bit more. Share with us how it looks broken down into workable pieces day in and day out in the practice.
Sure. Before we break that down, let's unpack two important things you just said.
Okay.
We keep coming back to this word relationship, and you mentioned listening.
Yes.
And so as I work with dentists and their teams, we come back to how we listen. And I use the acronym EAR, and that's beautiful since we use our ears to listen. In dentistry, often we're not taught this. And it's one of those fundamental principles. So we listen. The E is empathy. The A is authenticity. And the R is a relationship. If I can listen with the intent first to actually feel the patient, to feel where they're coming from, to feel their history, I need to start not by listening. So, okay, they need to hurry up and tell me their story so I can get to the part where I can fix it. Okay. And then the opportunity to respond as your authentic self. You mentioned the difference between you and your wife. You know that your wife, like me, can go into a room of 99 strangers and she'll have 98 friends in 30 minutes. Hey,
yeah.
You are much more like my husband. My husband would prefer 2 to 3 deeper conversations at that party, and he could care less about the 96 or 97 other people. Hey, one of those is not right or wrong. They're just different. It's the opportunity for us to show up in our strengths as our authentic self. But you don't get to do that until you started by listening to the patient. Oh, well, how am I supposed to be empathetic, Christy? I've never had my mouth look like their mouth looks like. Well, what are the emotions that they're feeling? Is it fear? Is it anger? Is it frustration? Is it overwhelm? And then just say to yourself, okay, when was the last time I was overwhelmed? Yep, I remember what that felt like. Now I'm going to speak in tone and pace and body language as my authentic self with the intent to build a relationship. The exact same thing is true on a new patient call. The exact same thing is true in a case presentation. The exact same thing is true in an exam. The EAR principle applied is transformational. So that's one of those little steps, John, that's real easy for me to say and go, oh yeah, we need to listen with our ears. And everybody goes, yeah, Christy, I get it. Do you really? Think about the 7, 10, 22, 45 patients you saw yesterday when you were on roller skates between 3 hygiene ops trying to do a periodic exam. Did you really?
Yep. Listening is the key. And we're not taught that. And I think most people in the medical field, Christy, they have question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they've got the scripts already down and they want to go through those as quickly as possible to get to the next interaction. And with the transformational aspect, you know, my discovery of watching Mary was, and over the expansion weekend, is how you women listen. And you guys listen. And I learned that it was important for me, if I was going to succeed in my lifestyle practice, that I had to learn the art of listening. And that is asking a question and really being there, present with that person, listening to what they're saying, not thinking about a response, but my next question came from what they talked about. Not from what I felt like, okay, A to B, now B says this, but doggone it, they're going in this opposite direction, so I've got to recorrect them and come back. How do I do? No, you stay with them and you go where their story goes, and you listen, and you give them feedback. You give them empathy. Yes, you know, you mentioned that you're a cancer survivor. Well, so am I. So I can have empathy with you on that. But even if you haven't had it and someone shares with it, almost everybody has had family or relatives that have had it or friends. So you have some empathetic feelings about that for them. So show that and let that be. But the listening, storytelling, that is great. Everybody has a story and they do like to share it. They like to be invited to share it. What an awesome thing is that, you know, Christy, I know you've got a great story. I would love to hear it. Would you tell me a little bit about it? And then sit back and then this is where the fun part is, because the story is totally irrelevant if no one's going to listen. And I knew that the patients that were sharing their story to me, they were sharing exactly what I asked you to at the very first of this podcast. Share with the audience, Christy, what you think is important for them to know about you. And so that's what I did with my patients, is I listened to their story, knowing they were sharing with me what they wanted me to know and understand about them, so that we could develop that relationship of trust and friendship and move forward together. And it was fun. Story listening. You got it.
Let's address story for a second.
Yeah.
In many practices, in all of their marketing materials, there's not a good story. Okay. So you'll see a lot of agencies now kind of shifting their focus to let's tell the story of the practice. And that can be very successful. There's a whole brand that's built around that.
Yes.
Okay. And not but. And the patient needs to be the hero of the story, not the doctor, not the team. The patient has to be the hero. And that has to, this is my favorite marketing word, permeate all areas of the enterprise. That comes from my very favorite definition of marketing by management and business guru, Peter Drucker. Marketing must permeate all areas of the enterprise because it's not just one person's job description. Marketing is not a website. Marketing is not a new patient call. Marketing is not the treatment presentation materials that we're emailing to follow up with 6 weeks after the patients. Marketing, in the words of Drucker, is looking at the business from the customer's point of view. So we can translate that and say marketing is looking at the practice from the patient's point of view. And therefore, responsibility for marketing must permeate, seep in, ooze from, get into all the cracks and crevices throughout the practice, permeate all areas of the enterprise. So people can throw a lot of money at marketing. Dr. John, you've seen people do that in their career, and it can often be a waste because they forgot to consider the permeation of everything they do. Fred Joyle titled his book this, Everything is Marketing, that plays into the patient becoming the hero.
I love that. I love that. And I believe that in my practice, that the patient was the focal point of everything that we did. And if we were doing something that wasn't to the benefit of the patient, then the question would be why? And as part of the 80-20 principle, Christy, is that 20% of our activities give us 80% of the results. So it was important for me and my staff to find out what that 20% was and stay there. Why leak out of that 20% into the 80% of things that we do that might give us 20% of our productive results? I'd much rather stay in that 20%. And then what I did was I broke it down a little bit further, Christy, is that you can take that 80-20 and it can and you take 20% of your 20, and that's 4% gives you 64% of your results. So let's dive a little bit deeper and find out what that 4% is. And let's spend our time there, and then we can leak out into the other 16% and finish icing the cake. Fully on board. I'm loving what you're saying here, Christy, with this.
Well, now we're going to geek out as numbers nerds, because not in the bio was that before I came to dentistry, I was an adjunct college math professor at Cal State Sacramento.
Oh, really?
So we can nerd out on numbers all we want, right? And now I'm just like, ooh, maybe Dr. John and I could have a separate call about all these.
I saw your eyes light up when I said that.
Well, this is a great springboard for, you know, in today's day and age, in 2024, many dentists and their teams use some kind of dashboard. Hey, they're using practice by numbers, or they're using dental intel, or they're using some of these new AI softwares to look at trends. And I always go back to the words of my first and greatest mentor, Dr. Bill McKee. Dr. McKee was a dentist in Yuba City, California, a small farm town outside of Sacramento in the 80s. As a Marine who had served in Vietnam, something he never talked about, as many wow. Vietnam veterans, his physical abilities deteriorated so that he could no longer practice. But in the early 1980s, in a farm community north of Sacramento, Dr. McKee had a $1 million office. This was a big deal.
Yeah.
And when I joined the dental world, Dr. McKee was the one who started to teach me about dentistry. And I remember he would pick me up and we would go to visit all these different offices. And he would have all of the inspirational, motivational books on tape. He had Jim Rome, he had Napoleon Hill, and he would have in his dress shirt pocket a 3x5 card of the people he wanted to reach out to and call, and he would check them. I mean, the guy was a master of the 80-20 rule and the time that he spent developing relationships like we talked about and creating touch points, but focusing his energy on those areas that really made a difference. And he would always come back, and I heard him say this, I don't know, 17,000 times in a meeting, in doctor conversations, in team conversations, he would say, the main thing is the main thing is the main thing. So focus on the main thing. And we, of course, know that was not him. That was from the great master Jim Rohn. And in this case, in the world filled with distractions, filled with things that can grab our attention, shiny pennies that dentists pick up. I have long-term clients, 10 years. They've heard me say a 1 million times, avoid the shiny penny. And inevitably I'll get the phone call. Hey, did you hear about this? This is the latest, greatest thing. And it's like, okay, let's stop for a second and let's look at your data, because it's you versus you. And I don't need 200 different data points to tell if you're attracting, retaining, and growing high value patients. I can do it in just a couple. I don't need a big dashboard. I love them. I'm a numbers nerd too. I love seeing the hygiene reappointment for the hygienist on Thursday afternoons for patients who have a treatment plan over $5,000 and happen to be wearing a Coach jacket. I just don't need all that detail to make good decisions and to train my team that marketing can permeate into our culture to attract who we want.
Well said. Well said. I had a dashboard in my practice, and at first I was intrigued. It was the shiny penny. I admit that, Christy. And it was the coming thing. All these dashboards were coming out, and I got it on board. And after 6 months, I thought, really, what relevance is this? Because I kept coming back, like you said, I'm a believer in the main thing also. And the main thing that definitely falls in the 80-20, but also falls in the 64%, is what was the dashboard really telling me that I could go back to and implement that day in my practice? Over the fact of, I would tell my staff, go out, make this the absolute best day that you can for everybody that you interact with. Not necessarily through the dentistry, but through the relationship that you have built or the relationship that you can build. For me, that was the main thing, and that was the dashboard. I'd much rather the next morning we would ask, who did you build a relationship with yesterday? That, for me, was the important dashboard. Was I off board on my dashboard?
I don't think so, because what were you trying to achieve? And
yes,
that is what we should measure, right? You've heard the saying, what gets measured gets done, what gets measured gets rewarded. Those principles are true. We should also acknowledge that we can't move more than 2 or 3 metrics a year. And so, as a leader of your team, when you chose to focus on relationships, those were the metrics that you started to pay attention to. And you quickly figured out that if I do these things right, as my husband says, good hands and good heart are still what's required of most dentists. And if you have good hands and a good heart, then everything that comes as a result of that is easier.
Yeah.
So as you look at the relationships, the transformation, not the transaction, the opportunities for the patient to be the hero, the opportunities to listen, then you start to quickly figure out, and it's as if the heavens have opened, John, and I know you felt this, like, oh my gosh, is it really this simple? Yes, simple just isn't always easy, but it really can be simple if you can cut through the things that aren't the main thing, if you can stop picking up the shiny pennies, if you can articulate what a high value patient is to you, your marketing will be simple.
Yeah, I had to laugh. You talked a little bit earlier about avatar. And I've done that exercise before, Christy, where I've sat down and written out my avatar, and then I've stared at it for a while. And I said, you know, John, your avatar comes down to these two things. Does this patient have teeth? And do they want a friend? That's my avatar. You know, it's not the 32-year-old young lady that wants to walk down the red carpet with the Miss America sash on. It wasn't that person. It was the 78-year-old grandmother that came in on a 7 o'clock on a Thursday morning. We started seeing patients at 7, and by golly, she was there at 7 o'clock. She came up, pounded on the front desk, and says, I want my teeth changed. I want beautiful smile. And we asked her, okay, this is pretty abrupt for you. And why now at 7 o'clock in the morning? She says, last night we had a birthday party at my house. And in the middle of everybody was one of my little grandchildren playing on the carpet. And she looked up at me and she proclaimed, Grandma, why are your teeth so brown and ugly? She was embarrassed beyond belief, humiliated by her granddaughter. She came in and said, I never, ever, ever want that to happen again. And I had some elderly people tell me also, Christy, this other lady, she was like 88. And she said, John, you know, just because I'm old doesn't mean that I don't want to look pretty and feel good about myself. I'm going, absolutely. So the avatar for me is anybody that breathes, has teeth, and wants a friend.
I will say, I have talked with thousands of dentists about this, and I have never heard someone include somebody that wants a friend. Bravo. Bravo.
That was it, Christy, for me. I wanted someone that wanted to have a friendship relationship with me where they really could trust me. Now, I had to put myself out there and look myself in the mirror every day and say, okay, John, do not let them down today. Keep that promise. And what do friends do? They have the back of their other friend. They will be truthful with them. They will be honest with them. They will tell them what they need to hear. They will be there and have the sympathetic shoulder. They will hug them, hold them, affirm them as best they can. And when you're treating them with dentistry, you're going to give them your absolute, absolute best and let that dentistry speak for itself. And that's what we did, and we had fun. And I know that's what I just am 1,000% certain that that's where your marketing goes, Christy, with your clients. Am I right?
I think we attract who we are. And mm-hmm. as we started today, I said, I am on a mission to make everyone a better version of themselves, myself included. Okay. And I don't do that with a deluge of here's 27 different spreadsheets, here's 18 books, here's 1,400 CE courses you need to attend. We all can get better 1% at a time.
Yes.
And it can be difficult when we're in a rut.
Yeah.
It can be difficult when COVID happens. It can be difficult when team members have changed. It can be difficult when our personal life is a hot mess disaster. And I know there are people listening to this right now who are finding solace in their practice because their personal life is a mess. And I know there are people who their practice is a mess. And maybe that came from the fact that a little while ago, their personal life was a mess. And I think, John, as, and I hate the word survivor because it implies we just eked it out. I wasn't a survivor. I was a slayer. And I think you were a cancer slayer too. And so how lucky, fortunate, blessed I was to meet a coach in my life before that diagnosis came, so that the 12-month period following diagnosis was one of the best I have ever had in my business. You can get better even when everything is not going according to plan. You can get better with a change in team, with a change in outside circumstance, with your personal life being a hot mess disaster. You do it the exact same way everyone who has gone before you has, 1% at a time. You get a better patient that way. You get a better life that way. You get a better body that way. You get a better mind that way. It all is the same. Yep. And I don't do it in a big crashing wave.
Well said. One of my favorite books, Christy, was introduced to me back in the Panky Institute when I started back in 1980. It's As a Man Thinketh. Yeah, you're shaking your head. You've heard that book, read it. And you know, really it can boil down to this one sentence, that book. And a lot of the philosophy that I followed is he states right, I think the first chapter, first line is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you know, as a person thinketh in their heart, so are they. And that's easily said, and it can be easily followed if we choose to make it as simple as possible. And so we can avoid all the shiny penny if we just keep some of the simple things simple, Christy.
And I'm guilty of it, John. You know, we see things and you're drawn to them. One of the best parts about that expansion conference was the time of year that it happened. As we started the year off, and a reminder for all of us who were in the room. I mean, how lucky were we? It was not 3,000 people, guys. No one was walking on fire, and it was not that kind of a thing. But it was what a wonderful opportunity to recenter. And some of us get way off, but even just a little bit, if I can just come back a little bit and recenter and say to myself, what relationships am I intent on pursuing?
Yeah.
And the relationship with myself, I will say this every day until the good Lord decides to call me home. To every dental team member and dentist and owner who will listen, the most important person you talk to every day is yourself.
I agree. I have some pretty good conversations. Some of them are kind of ornery with myself, I admit.
Listen, do you know how many times I catch my, and I teach this stuff, and it's like, listen, I am beating myself up over, no. The most important conversation is with you. And listen, yes, you are going to talk to you, and you is going to talk back, and some people are going to, who is she talking to? It's okay.
Yes. Have you ever lost a conversation with yourself? Yeah. And I know when I have Christina with my wife, Mary, I'll make a comment and I'll just look at her and she'll have that look on her face or that little gentle smile and says, John, that was stupid. That was stupid. Okay. Yeah, I get it, Mary. I get it. So, Christy, this has been a great conversation. You know, like you said, we could put on our hiking boots and go for another 3 hours. And I'll have to get you back on the podcast at some point here down the road a little bit. And we can pick some topics and go deeper, because I would love to do that with you. But it's been a real pleasure visiting with you. I love the depth of the conversation. Again, I think you brought to the surface that this doesn't have to be that difficult. And the simpler that we make our marketing message and who we are, our authenticity, the easier it is for people to develop relationships with us. And those are the ones that want to stay with us. Those are the ones that will continue to say yes to the Quadrant Dentistry. Those are the ones that will refer to you. And those are the ones that you will give a hug to when they walk in the front door. And that That's powerful stuff.
I will never forget, your avatar is somebody who wants a friend. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for the presence you bring to dentistry and all the wonderful conversations that happen on your podcast. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Christy. I appreciate you a lot. And what we're going to do at the end of our podcast notes, Christy, I'm going to put down how people can make contact with you. And so if you'll provide for me the absolute best ways for them to make connection with you, we'll put it there. And we hope that your phone is just ringing off the hook with people wanting to connect. Because I can tell you from personal experience, they should, because it's good. So with that, that's the end of the podcast today. Thank you for listening to the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John, and my guest has been the wonderful Christy Boltz.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.